Wade Smith joins us in studio on a Friday, and Wade is all in on paying a lot of money for Patriots left tackle Trent Brown. Why is this guy the answer?
No question, man. They got it. They got a, the Texans got to back up the Brinks truck and pay this man, because when you look at him on tape, okay, first of all, people, he's a left tackle now. And I saw something. I think it might have been Matt Weston's. I saw you retweet an article in Battle Red Blog, Seth.
Yeah.
And it was talking about the fact that, you know, Trent Brown is a slow-footed guy that you don't want to pay a lot of money for. He's like the guy that will ruin the franchise, something to that extent, whatever, right? But I'm like, let me go back and look at this guy when he was with the 49ers, because he played right tackle then. I pulled up the tape. Dude was out there balling. He was good enough with the 49ers that the Patriots looked at him and said, you know what, we're going to bring this guy in and have him play left tackle for us. And then he played really damn well. He's probably the best free agent left tackle that I've seen on film in the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Like, free agent tackles that are this good don't become available. The Texans have a history of not paying top dollar for free agents. I think this is the time to do it. You have a quarterback that's on a rookie deal. You have the money to do it. If you bring in a guy like Trent Brown that has experience at right tackle and left tackle and has played really well, you go into the draft. Now there's those five offensive tackles that you could plug in and play. You don't have to pray to God that one of those guys that plays the specific position, like left tackle or right tackle, is available. You basically can just pick whichever one is there. So that means, like, you have Andre Dillard and Greg Little. Both of them are left tackles only, right? You have Cody Ford. You have Jonah Williams. He's a left tackle. And then you have Juwan Taylor. He's a right tackle that can play left.
Okay.
If you have Trent Brown already in the fold, you go into that in a position of power, and you don't have to worry about having to trade up and give up picks. So I just think that it would be a uncommon move for the Texans to do, but that's a must sign. They need to pay him and make him the highest paid tackle in football, which will only last for like a few months or maybe a year. He'll be the highest paid tackle in football. But he solved so many problems in the offensive line for the Texans.
And he's interesting. He's interesting because he's got almost like all his measurables were almost the exact same as Orlando Brown Jr., who, you know, plummeted down the draft boards because he was just too big and slow-footed and all these things. And then the Ravens end up being really happy with him after they take him, and he plays a bunch this year. The thing I would say, and like, because there's also a reason that the San Francisco 49ers traded him for just a fifth-round pick after they drafted, this is the question. Bill O'Brien likes versatility a lot. I think he's not slow-footed for his size, but I don't think he fit the San Francisco 49ers scheme. I don't think in zone running that he's a liability in zone blocking schemes. And I think there's a reason that the Patriots were perhaps more limited in what they did offensively this year and went to an old-school style rushing attack, partly because Orlando Brown was so good at what he does, which is man blocking, double teams. Once it comes out to get out on linebackers and everything, he's kind of clumsy footed.
I have a stat to piggyback.
Well, wait a second.
It's an exact stat to piggyback what you're exactly talking about. Wade Smith in studio saying the Texans need to sign Trent Brown. 31%. So Seth's talking about zone blocking. The Texans ran outside zone on 31% of their design runs, which was their highest usage of any running play in 2018. Like, that was the thing they went to most when they wanted to run the football.
What was their success rate?
Yeah, that's what I see. I don't think you're actually arguing against me. I don't think they should have been running outside
I don't
zone
know.
Much, actually.
Exactly.
I don't know what their success rate, candidly.
They were running outside zone, but they weren't doing it very successfully.
Yeah.
The offensive philosophy of the Texans is there is not one. Same thing with the Patriots. The thing about Trent Brown, he flourished in that offensive scheme that was, we're going to do two or three of one particular play. Like, they're going to have eight different schemes they're going to run in one game, and they're going to run each play like twice. And he flourished, right? With the 49ers, they were an outside running team. Probably, if you look at the stats, probably like 70% of the snaps, right? They're going to run that to death, right? He didn't fit in that scheme because after a while, you keep repping that. He gets exposed. But I don't think that you have that issue here, because that's not what the Texans doing. And the fact that they did it so much and they weren't that successful, you just need to change that philosophy.
Right.
He's a guy that dominates people in front of him, period.
And that's where
in pass and run game.
Wait, I'm with you. That's where my question becomes more one of, and I talked to Vandermeer about this a little bit. Bill O'Brien loves versatility. Brian Gain loves size and strength. He loves Chantrell Henderson. You know, there's a reason that he was up in, Brian Gain was up in Buffalo where Chantrell Henderson was. Chantrell Henderson ends up here with Brian Gain. This is where I think Bill O'Brien's willing to bend his philosophy a little bit to Brian Gain's. And the more I, like, as I watch, it's funny because Wade and I both started, well, you, I don't know when you started watching him. I watched him yesterday and you texted like an hour after I finished watching the Texans game with him. He's way better than I thought he was going to be. Like, I like in my mind, I'd watched him a little bit this year and I just kept thinking like, oh, he's a top heavy mauler. I don't want it because like he's limited and he's just benefiting from Dante Scarnecchia. You go back and watch what he did in San Francisco when they weren't just doing outside zone running. Like, man, the guy can pass protect and he's been a good pass protector for a long time. If you do beat him, he gets beat fast at times, like he'll get dumped on his face like a top heavy guy sometimes will. But like that's if you have the perfect down. Like if he's just out there, like you can't bull rush him, you can't run around him because he's so damn big that by the time you get around him, your quarterback's either thrown the ball or fled the pocket. There's a lot to like about him.
And then that's the thing about it. He's the type of guy that's so big and so strong, he causes defensive linemen to just give up on the play before they even get started.
Yeah.
If he catches them, they're just like, all right, he got me this one. And then you just move on to the next play. Like, there's not many offensive tackles that you can say that. He is an anomaly as far as just his size. He's bigger than Chantrell Henderson. You guys, I'm sure,
he's the same frame, but larger. Like, he's bigger. Like, a bit more filled out.
And,
yeah.
And the thing about him is you look at him on the tape, sometimes he looks clumsy, right? But when it comes to the point of it's time to fight, he's in a good position and he can get the, like, he does it. He looks very awkward. He looks almost like a gazelle or something, like a newborn deer or something like that. His legs are all over the place.
I said a hippo on stilts.
Something to that effect. Yes. And once it's time to fight, he's ready to go and he's in a good position to get black guys. And then he also, when he's out of position, he's so big, he'll fall down. He's the type of guy. Remember we talked about before how the Texans offensive linemen earlier in the year, they weren't going to have that intensity at the end of the play if they're out of position to finish a block and just push a guy past and just have that panic mode, but the panic mode that finishes the play.
That extra breathing thrust.
Yes, that extra thrust at the end that finishes the job and gets it done. He has that. No question about it.
Ideally.
Trent Brown we're talking about here. Agent offensive lineman for the Patriots.
So I like the way you guys are describing Trent Brown, but Wade, if you have this might be a weird question. Can you have the same tackle on both ends of the line of scrimmage? If say you have two maulers, like a left and right, is that good or is that bad? Because I almost wonder, on one side, do you want someone who's a little bit more agile and quick? And on the other end, do you want to have somebody who is that kind of, I can crush whoever's in front of me?
My thing is, I think we're making a mistake on plugging a guy in that's shown that he can't stay healthy.
That's Chantrell Henderson.
Okay. And so like, I don't count on guys that aren't out there.
Correct.
You know what I mean? You cannot do that. Same thing we'll talk about next segment about Will Fuller. You can't count on guys that aren't out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so in my scenario, you sign Trent Brown and then you draft one of those top five tackles with the first pick in the first round, the 23rd pick of the draft. And one of those guys are going to be your two offensive tackles. Oh. So I don't bring Chantrell Henderson in the fold. If he shows up and ends up being the starting right tackle, that's because he did an amazing job and he earned that spot. And so in that case, it's a win-win scenario.
Follow up. Would he only be considered as left tackle? Because obviously he was playing left tackle with the Patriots. But when he's a guy that's as big as he is, I wonder, like, could he be a right tackle as well?
Yeah, he was in San Francisco.
That's what I'm saying. In San Francisco, he's a right tackle, and he played well at right tackle. So that gives you position flexibility when you go into the draft. That I would love for the Texans to draft Andre Dillard. If you draft Andre Dillard, you put him at left tackle, you put Trent Brown at right tackle, and you're good. With all the rest of the guys that you have on the interior, now your offensive line goes from being, you know, maybe ranked 25th to ranked like 10th. And if you have a 10th ranked offensive line with the skill position guys you have around it,
I'll take anything close to that.
Now you're good to go. So I just think that's the way that the Texans should go.
Wade Smith says the Texans need to pay Trent Brown, who he views as the best free agent left tackle of the last 3 or 4 years.
This would be the question I'd have, which was one our listeners brought up a little while ago, which is just the overall philosophy that if the Patriots are letting somebody go, is there a really good chance that he's not worth it? This, to which point I would point out, for one, Darrell Revis a couple years back, Brandon Browner. Nate Solder did not play as well last year, but I think a lot of people could have seen that coming. Danny Amendola.
Chandler Jones.
Yeah, Chandler Jones. Richard like, it's not 100% ironclad.
That they let go that can still play the game.
And this is one, too, level. Where if there's one thing I know about Bill Belichick, he does not like paying guys the top of the market. And he's in a situation right here where, I don't want to say they lucked into Trent Brown, but they got a lot out of Trent Brown for a fifth round pick. He doesn't like paying pass rushers at the top of the market. I don't think he likes paying offensive tackles at the top of the market, which is what he would have to do here because he's competing with a guy that's about to enter free agency. Would they franchise tag Orlando Brown? The Patriots don't have a ton of cap space. Trent Brown.
To me, if I'm the Patriots, I do it. Yeah. But I'm just hoping as a Texans fan that they don't do it because the Texans need to sign him.
If they do, though, it proves that you and I are correct, which no is almost more it. Important than the Texans getting better.
So I've heard that they might franchise tag Gostkowski, the Patriots. And also, we brought this up earlier in the week, that Trent Brown wants to be the highest paid tackle in the NFL.
He's gonna
so
it.
Do I.
He's gonna get
it. one last question. It has to do with the offensive line. We didn't get to this earlier, but there's a tackle available, or excuse me, there is a center that is potentially going to be available, Matt Paradis of the Denver Broncos. I'm wondering. Wade's smiling right now, shaking his head a little bit. Okay, I wonder, is Nick Martin a long term center for this team? Because I felt like this past season was not a good one for him. And is he someone that you could see maybe playing guard?
People keep bringing up this whole stat. He was the fifth highest ranked guy on Pro Football Focus.
4-team division. Not great.
those ratings. Like, I like Pro Football Focus a lot. Their grading system is not accurate. Like, it just,
okay.
And that's all. Like, it's a really good site, but the grading system, which is probably what they get the most clicks off of, it's a really,
I totally agree with you on Seth on Pro Football Focus, but did Nick Martin have a good season last year though?
No, he didn't have a good season. He didn't have a bad season either.
So he's in the middle.
He was okay. And like a lot of his problems, I think, has to do with him not putting his foot down in the meeting room and say, like, stop having me reach this 2i. With no help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's physically impossible to do. Like, stop making me have to do that.
And that's,
you know,
what's driving me crazy way too, are some of the gifts I see of supposedly bad plays by Nick Martin, where it's like, no, Nick, the center can't be expected to reach a guy who's lined up in the A-gap. Like, it's just, they're impossible blocks to make. Impossible blocks to make. And so, yeah, of course he's getting his ass beat. Like, only what, Dermoni Dawson might be the only center in the history of football that can make some of the blocks they're asking Nick Martin to routinely make.
Yeah, but to go back to your question, Paul, Paredes, he's pretty good, but is he going to change anything? He's going to move the needle. You know, if you get Paredes, and you still get Trent Brown, then, like, cool, that's great. But you got so many things that you have to do on defense with the Texans team. So I just don't think it is worthwhile with that move.